Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namane. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paskachada Satarani. So today, we are going to do something a little different. We are going to have a tour of innovative, exciting events that have happened in the last 12 months in ISKCON. Now, housekeeping first. If you have a cell phone on, you could shut it off. There's an off button, believe it or not. And when you turn it on, the bad news will still be there. So no loss. And in our temple in Bhaktivedanta Manor, if your cell phone goes off during the Sunday talk, you have to donate $10 to the deity. The hundi box is right there. So stay tuned. Last chance. And crying babies. I remember when I was raised as a Christian, and I did learn some good things from them. No, I'm not, no doubt about it. But it was also very difficult as a young child to sit through a long philosophical talk. Now, this won't be so philosophical, it won't be so long. Still, it's hard for young kids to sit. Each kid in this audience has three shots. One, two, three strikes, you're out. Because it actually is a serious subject matter, and we would like your attention. So who cares? I'm speaking. It's nothing to do with me. But it actually is an important subject matter. So if the kid is having trouble sitting, I don't blame him. Full empathy is there. But after three shots, Hare Krishna. It's a nice day outside. They can run and play and be happy. Okay? Cell phones, crying babies, that pretty much covers it. So as it says here, ISKCON annual report. The only problem with this presentation, it is not getting enough material. There is so much going on that what not to show. Actually, I could put on a 2-hour show, 3-hour show easily. So these are just things that have happened in the last 12 months. And, well, I guess we'll just take it from there. Because I think the rest is self-explanatory. This says, leading lives of quiet desperation. And you see our little friend here? But really, what is the purpose of life? If one, you ever have a bucket full of water and you put your hand in it, what happens to the water line? It goes up. When you pull your hand out, what happens? It goes right back down to the same spot. It's as if the hand, now this plastic rustling, thank you. Sell the Mahaprasad, but go easy with the plastic bags. Thank you. Should we live our life in the same way, that we really have no impact other than getting ourselves with the GPS back and forth from Walmart? And, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and then drop dead. Is that really all that human life is meant for? Are we no better than polished dogs and cats? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending in a glorified fashion. So what is that all there is to life? Just getting through and paying the bills, hopefully? Or chasing after the ephemeral? She looks pretty nice. Whoa, what happened? I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. And all it is the addition of the time factor. That's all that's happened. Like a green mango and a ripe mango. Only thing that's separating is time. So the only thing is separating is time. So we're chasing after the ephemeral. This is Yadubar's father. Time and tide wait for no one. Nice, young, virile. Whoa, what happened? And time and tide wait for no one. This is one of my favorites. I love this sign. Learn to fly here. Whoa, well, something went wrong in translation. We are getting all kinds of advice. We all have impressions within our mind. What is valuable? What is true? What is good? And we're chasing after these things. But we've never stopped. Generally, of course, you're all here at the temple. You have some serious spiritual inquiry. You're actually practitioners. But generally speaking, People don't inquire. I remember when I was a kid, we used to break into teams, elementary school, Republicans and Democrats. I had no idea what a Republican was, what a Democrat was. But I knew that my parents were Republican. So, okay, I'm Republican. What does that mean? We follow blindly. We get all kinds of good advice. You know, good bank balance. You know, trophy wife, house in, what is it, Beverly Hills, whatever it is. Okay, that's success. Well, is it really? Some siddhi haditoshanam, the Bhagavatam says that you measure success, is the Supreme Lord satisfied? They don't even know if there is a Supreme Lord. So we are following a whole pattern. We get all kinds of advice, a whole world of bad advice. There used to be a beer ad. It said you only go around once in life, so get all the gusto you can. Or Nike says, just do it. Shouldn't you think about it before you do it? No, just do it. You know, Coke is the real thing. Coke is fuzzy, fizzy, sugar water. It's not the real thing. So, I mean, in this way, we are the average American under hypnosis can remember over 357 commercial jingles. And it's all stuff there. And it doesn't come without a message and without a value, you know, picture. So we have a whole world of bad advice, but where is it going? They want them. Of course, now people know mantras and so many things. But when Prabhupada first came to the West and introduced the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, they said, isn't this brainwashing? Prabhupada said, if the brain is dirty, shouldn't it be washed? Kind of humorous. Just Prabhupada's unique and pristine take on the world. Prabhupada was on a radio show, and he was explaining how he came to the West. And some lady was called, it could have been a man, but somebody was very upset and criticizing that, you know, what have you come to the West to teach us and why have you come? He says, how did you get here anyway? Prabhupada said, I got free passage from Sindhya. So they said, oh, so you're a freeloader. Prabhupada said, yes. He's not freeloader. It's a fact. He got a free ride, so he's a freeloader. So brainwashing, we should wash the brain, no doubt about it. Okay, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am adventure. Instead of a life of quiet desperation, meaningless, like a dog chasing its tail running in circles, Krishna explains that the message of a Vaishnava, the life of a devotee, it's full of adventure and purpose and value. Prabhupada was told by his Guru Maharaj, his spiritual master, you go to the West, good for you and good for those who hear you. So devotee's life, good for him and good for everyone who associates with him. Prabhupada, I was actually riding in a car with Srila Prabhupada in Detroit. Prabhupada was coming back from Belle Isle Park over the Detroit River, which had recently caught on fire and burned for 3 days because of the contamination. So, welcome to Detroit. Prabhupada was driving back to the temple. Prabhupada looked out the window of the car and said, ah, this is Mahaprabhu's movement. We saw a welfare office, a liquor store, and a hardware store. And in the window of the hardware store, this is the slogan, the slogan or the logo for Sherwin-Williams Paint, we cover the earth. And Prabhupada said, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement in every town and village. It's meant to cover the earth. And actually, it is happening. Prabhupada arrived in London, and they asked Prabhupada, they said, you know, well, so many things. I'm thinking of the time factor. But Prabhupada asked them a question. Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said, I have one question for you. Because the British, you know, the colonial empire, and actually they treated India quite roughly. I mean, that's a whole other story, the colonial exploitation of India. So just to tweak the British pride a bit and bring them down to a... Because one has to become humble to actually hear. So Prabhupada, they were... So many stories there, but just quickly. They asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said to the BBC, as they interviewed him in the airport, he said, I just have one question for you. They say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Then why does it never shine in London? And there's a long pause. You can hear the tape. The BBC reporter is a little thrown off by that, you know. But if you think about it, the fact that the prophet said the British lion is badly bandaged now. They've lost the jewel in the crown, India, and they've just become... I hope no one's, I haven't offended any Brits here, but We could go off on America as well, don't worry. But the fact of the matter is that right now, all over the world, somewhere in ISKCON, devotees are putting on a festival. Devotees are going to Mangalarti. Devotees are dressing the deities. Devotees in Finland are distributing books. All over the world, 24 hours a day, something amazing is going on. And that is because of Prabhupada's mercy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. And we have a chance to participate. It is our great good fortune. So here we go. We'll start off with India. We're going to spot around different places. This is the temple of Vedic Planetarium. This temple, well, you'll see in a moment, but this is the main temple, dome. Prabhupada liked this dome structure. Within this is a model of the structure of the universe according to the fifth canto. It is a working planetarium. They've already made the model. It can explain all the phenomena that we experience. The astrophysicists or astronomers, eclipses, all the different things that they see in this real world, well, it was the world that we experience. That same thing, by using a Vedic model from the fifth canto, Sataputta Prabhu, the great hero, and many others, they actually have a living model which will be in this dome. It'll show the whole universe. And Prabhupada says, and Bhagavatam also says, as above, so below. So as is shown in Goloka, when Krishna showed his pastimes here, all the way up here will be the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, Gokula, Krishna Loka. Actually, I've got it backwards, so Gokula and Goloka. Also in here will be a series of moving dioramas, the sojourn of the soul based on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It'll show you the hellish planets, heavenly planets. It has a whole set of dioramas that you can move up, and you will literally experience the evolution of the soul from our conditioned situation, hellish planets, middle planets, Ombur, Bhuvaswa, all the way to the spiritual world. You'll go through the Brahmajyoti, those who think they found their home in Om, the white light. You'll go beyond that, all the way to the spiritual world. So that's here. Over here, this is an IMAX theater, and it will also be the Bhaktivedanta Institute Research Institute. And they'll have all kinds of different Vedic themes, these IMAX movies, Vedic Varnashram Dharma, reincarnation, all kinds of things. So that's on this side. And this side will be the temple for Lord Nrisimhadev. Prabhupada said he should have his own temple. He's pretty fiery. So, okay, it's a nice, pretty... Ambarish, Alfred Ford, has actually given already $25 million. It's about a $45 million project. So we need to raise more money to finish. The construction's already started. It's coming up. It's like that... What is it, little... Was it Satyavrata? Who was it with the fish? Lord Brahma and the... No, the moon, he starts with an S. Huh? Satyavrata, yeah. The king. So he put it in a little cup, the fish grew so big, put it in a bowl, fish grew, put him in a kun, fish got, put him in the ocean, the fish grew so big. And so fast, this temple is coming up like that. This is a bird's eye view. This is the main temple dome. For those of you who know Mayapur, this is the conch building, this is the lotus building, here's the long building, like that. The grand opening will be 2016 by Krishna's grace, the 50th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON. The whole building won't be finished, but the main temple building, which is the main temple floor, which is absolutely gorgeous. The temple room itself is 1.5 acres. It can hold 10,000 people at a time. And it's all designed acoustically. The sound will be pristine and pure. So Madhavis can go over there and lead some smoking kirtans for us, you know. But anyway, so it's coming up. And the grand opening will be 2016. Here's another picture of it coming up. Everyone can help build this temple. There'll be a presentation made for Prabhupada's festival, but just to prepare you for it, you can sponsor. There's the remainder of finishing the temple. 1 square foot. Just like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went house to house to collect money to build the first temple in Mayapur, the Yogpit, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the same way, you know, you don't have to be Ambarish and give $25 million. $175 you can purchase, you can sponsor a square foot of the Mayapur temple. So you, your children, your grandchildren can look and say, hey, My grandfather, my grandmother helped build this temple. It's a wonderful thing. Now, this is in Pune. This temple just opened. Okay, this is South Indian style Baldachi temple. Here's the main temple. This is all ashram, research institute, guest, ashram, all that kind of stuff. Okay, it's a pretty picture. Will it ever happen? Here's the main temple. It opened in February. Here's the, they're installing the chakra. This is the Kumbhabhishekam. There's three balls, Om Bhura Bhuvaswar, for the three planetary systems with the picture of the flag of Vishnu flying over them, because Bhoktaram Jagasapa, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The president of India came. Here he is opening the cornerstone. He was supposed to come for half an hour, but he stayed for 2.5 hours. He had such a good time. At one point, his phone kept ringing. He just leaned over and shut off his cell phone. Had a great time. He offered RT to Srila Prabhupada. Maybe it says here. Let's see. He had an entourage of 40 people, 28 cars. Shut the temple down for the day before. Terrorism, same thing in America. These things become such a dangerous world. So they had to shut down the whole temple room and do the security search. So he had his special presidential guard went through. We got chastised by the head of the presidential guard because the devotees were feeding them all prasadam. And they were becoming so mellow, they were putting their guns down, putting their radios down. After 4 or 5 samosas slipping off and taking a nap, they said, "You got to stop feeding these guys. You're taking the edge off them, For all glories to Mahaprasad. Here's a beautiful deity, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Now, this is ISKCON Kanpur. $8 million for the first phase. 15 acres, 85,000 square feet. And they've just started construction. The land was donated in 1975. Prabhupada said it was the third most important city. It was the Manchester of India at the time. And it's on the banks of the Ganga. Brahma meditated there after hearing the sound tapa. Dhruva was insulted there. 1975, the land was donated. Somehow or other, different devotees went there. Nobody could get the thing going. Devaki Nandana Prabhu from Bombay, very nice devotee, went there. There's letters by Prabhupada, how important, how he wanted this temple. Finally, the construction has actually started. When the donor, an old man now, saw the temple actually coming up, he began to cry. So this is, we can't actually keep track of all the temples. We'll get there in a second. But so many temples, million-dollar temples are coming up in India, practically left and right. So now North America, we're not sleeping over here. Last year, our goal was to increase book distribution. There were other things we had to take care of, youth funds, so many things. When those things got taken care of, it made me actually proud to be a member of ISKCON. When that immediate pressure was off the back of the leaders of ISKCON, they looked around and thought, what will we do? And with encouragement from our Swavas Prabhu, he's your North American, he's your temple president for New Dwarka, and that's a wonderful full-time, more than full-time service. But he's also the trustee for the North American BBT. Which is also a full-time service. So with his encouragement from Vaisheshika Prabhu, the North American temple presidents and leaders thought, hey, a rising tide lifts all boats. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all things shall be added unto you. Let's distribute books and everything will flow from that. And they focused on it and we increased book distribution by 20%. And we're going to do it again by Krishna's grace and the hard work, Congregational Sankirtan, Brahmacharis, everybody rowing together. If we really work hard, we can do it again this year. And it means all the Prabhupada's books can be in print. It just creates so many opportunities. Every book distributed, a percentage of that goes to build the Mayapur temple. You distribute a book, it's a brick for Mayapur. You don't distribute it, give money. Sponsor books. Let others distribute for you. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. So that's one thing happening in North America. There is also this warped concert tour. Sometimes things in the material world are actually named properly. They don't mean it this way, but it's a pretty far out thing. How many devotees or a whole group of devotees travel? It's a youth concert of all different, new age, alternative, punk, whatever it is, rock bands. And I think it says next. This is our booth. We had a booth there, Krishna monks. 15,000 to 50,000 kids per concert. So the devotees were there with a booth. They were also there distributing books. I got a kick out of this next picture. You know, this 400,000 human species, I don't know where this guy fits in. He's the original blue man, but anyway. I mean, he'd become an insect if he wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. The devotees have saved him from who knows what his future birth would be. And they also did massive book distribution. In addition to the booth, there were devotees. I've got to get the numbers. I just put this together last week. I've got to get the number of how many books distributed. This is another program, Motel Gita. So many motels are owned by Indian expats, you know, coming from India. They've got into the motel business. It's even a joke. You know, Motel Patel. And they were thinking, you know, they're devotees. They're intelligent people. They thought we've got this Gideon Bible in all of our motel rooms, and that's fine. It's, you know, a message of God. But what about Bhagavad Gita? One is ABC. One is PhD. One is pocket dictionary. One is Oxford's unabridged. So shouldn't the Gita be there? So this is Motel Gita. This is this is a big convention. This is our well known to us, another one of our BBT trustees, Jayadwaita Swami. This is Veda Vit Prabhu from Laguna Beach. This looks like Adya, but it's his brother. They go to these all over America. Devotees are going to these motel conventions and selling huge amounts of Bhagavad Gitas. Here it is, Bhagavad Gita. And we have one devotee. He's an initiated devotee, Bhaktivatsal. He's in San Diego, Bart Patel. He owns three motels. He's getting cases of Gitas all the time. He said they leave the Bible, but they come to the front desk with the Gita under their arm and say, I only got halfway through. I only read two or three chapters. Can I take it with me? He says he's had the same Bibles in theirs for years. But the Gitas, man, people are taking them left and right. So it's quite encouraging. In December alone, they put in motel rooms 16,000 Bhagavad Gitas in 1 month alone. Their goal, and they should be able to this year, to match the number of Gideon Bibles across North America. I mean, that is no small accomplishment. And many, many people will become devotees, become Vaishnavas because of this. And their slogan, which I really got a kick out of, is solace for the traveling soul. You know, the soul is wandering through lifetime after lifetime, through all the universes, through so many bodies. The soul is wandering looking for Krishna. So not only are they traveling, you know, from motel to motel, but they're traveling from lifetime to lifetime. And the real solace is Bhagavad Gita. So that's one. Here you see a happy group. These are all motel owners who've purchased standing orders of Bhagavad Gitas. Now, this holy festival, you know, they used to say, we used to distribute, and still do, that book, Perfection of Yoga. And I remember doing that in county fairs in the Midwest. People would say, yogurt? Hell, man, I don't eat yogurt. I said, no, yoga. Well, okay, we've got to back up and try again, you know. So, or bhajan. Now bhajan is becoming cool in the secular or, you know, in the general society. So sometimes we miss these waves, sometimes we caught them. This holy festival is spreading all over America. It's becoming like a thing, an ethnic cultural thing. So it started off, ISKCON riding the wave. This started in Utah with Charu Prabhu. This is the beautiful Kusum Sarovar temple. They're now up to, I think, 50,000, 40,000, 50,000. I'm not exactly confirmed by Swavas. So they just started this year in Washington, D.C. This is their promo. They had a poster, and, you know, it's quite cool looking. They have an attractive layout. If you see here, you can see the signs. They have prasadam, tali, juice, all kinds of things. They made a ton of money off the festival. People came, chanted Hare Krishna. They heard, you know, this nice philosophy. It's a fantastic event. And the interesting thing was, the vast majority, 80% of the crowd, was under 35. So it's a real slice of young people, Western, Chinese, Indian, all from all over the place. Oh, it's a great mix. Many, many young people. You can't really see because they're all multicolored now, but... This is just for those who know, this is our Anutta Mapru. He's the temple president. Actually, He's the GBC, sorry. And he's head of our ISKCON communications. This is Seattle. It was sponsored by the city. The city paid for the whole thing and gave the devotees $15,000 for putting on the festival. Because they're looking for something, you know, Boeing, what is it, Microsoft, all these different things are there, and they're looking for something cultural to do. This is the mayor, well-fed. This is mayor on this side here. And he threw out the first colors. Now, we've moved on. So just give you a flavor of some of the things that are happening around the world. Also, these are to give some good ideas. We think, hey, I could do that. I could, you know, distribute Bhagavad Gita's, or, hey, we could help put on a holy festival. So this is in the UK, of course. This building was purchased by George Harrison for the devotees. It's Bhaktivedanta Manor. Anyone recognize this lady in the hat? Now, we have a nickname for her. Bhaktin Liz. It's Queen Elizabeth. I'll tell you why Bhaktin Liz in a moment. And this is her. This is Prince Philip. This is Krishna Balaram. This is inside our school. Our Krishna Avanti Gurukula. You'll see the numbers in a moment. But this is in our devotee school, devotee teachers, devotee curriculum. For her 50th Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee, on the throne 50 years, she actually came. This is with the devotee. His name is Naveen Krishna, who set the whole thing up. He's a very successful businessman, and he set up this school system. The reason I'm calling her Bhaktin Liz is because they explained the kids were chanting verses from Bhagavad Gita, and then they chanted the first verse of Chaitanya, you know, Chaitanya Darpanarjanam, the, you know, the chanting of the Sikshastika prayers. And they explained how this is welfare for all human society, that everyone can benefit by the chanting of the holy name. And she turned to Naveen Krishna and said, well, wouldn't that be just grand? Sincerely. Also, when her, I think for the 25th, you know, anniversary, they carved this bust of her, which went on all the coins and all these different things. The national sculptor for the United Kingdom carved the bust, was a very good friend with George Harrison. Shama Sundar was good friends with George Harrison. Shama Sundar told George Harrison, she's got to sit there. In those days, you had to sit for, you know, instead of doing it with all cameras, you'd have to sit there for a, whatever they call that, you know, when they do the sketches and get ready for to carve the bust. So she, modeling or whatever, she had to come like three times, a couple hours each time. Shama Sundar told George Harrison, give that sculptor, have her give her a Bhagavad Gita, give her a book to read. So the guy was shy, but somehow or other he did it. She came three times, 3 hours each, and brought the Bhagavad Gita with her each time and read Bhagavad Gita. At one point she turned and said, Krishna, the well-wisher of all living entities. Well, isn't that wonderful? So there's something ticking under there. So Bhaktin Liz, and she's having a great time looking at the deities and hearing the devotees chant. But this gives you an idea of the level of influence by intelligent practice, you know, the way they very systematically have worked over the years, and they're at a very high level of influence without compromise. This is the school. This is the first one. Here's the temple right in the middle of the thing. The Queen Liz was sitting right over here. They have four schools opened. Six more are shortlisted. That means they've been approved. Funding is there. They're just getting ready to line up the construction. The government has spent to date $80 million. On ISKCON schools, either for schools built or schools in the pipeline. Hey, what's this? Never a dull moment. Let's see what happens here. Okay. Thank you, Krishna. And they spend $4 million a year for maintenance and operation. And they're full on devotee schools. I mean, they learn math, they learn geometry, they learn whatever the academic schools. You know, but they learn Bhagavad Gita, they're studying Sanskrit, they all go and take darshan before, and it's all Krishna Prasad. So it's an amazing thing. This is the new Goshala. This is it's completed. And there's not a piece of metal in the construction of this. It's all French oak, tongue and groove. It's built to LEEDS standard. LEEDS is the top environmental. It's all solar. This building, you'll come back 500 years, this building will be standing just like that. Yes, all in England. I'll tell you when we've moved. This is actually at the manor, Bhaktivedanta Manor. I forget the number of cows. But the, what was I going to say? Oh, well, Hare Krishna, we'll move on. Now, the, how do you say this? Lester? Yeah. They say that America and England are two nations separated by language. They say, why else do we say, you know, so many different things, you know. But anyway, the temple, the old temple, there was a fire in the kitchen and the whole temple burned down. And the devotees were completely in anxiety, you know, and thinking, you know, Krishna, we're trying to serve you. Why has this happened? What to do? Where is God? You know, all those existential... Ah, was that a cell phone? Ah, Krishna knows. Hundi's right there. You can do it afterwards. But the temple was already too cramped. They were trying to find space. What to do? Thank you. Hare Krishna, a new friend. But somehow or other, the temple burned down. Donors came forward. And lo and behold, they have a brand new temple. It's a historic building, center of town, perfect location, beautiful building. So Krishna, what's the old bank? Yeah, so Krishna works in his own ways. They also have a farm in Scotland. This is the layout of the farm in Scotland. It's all, you know, permaculture, economically, organic, all that stuff. Self-sustained. This is a picture of their greenhouse. You know, it's cold up there. They got to start early. Now, this is Janmashtami at the manor. I mean, New Dwarka has a wonderful, you know, the standard for North America really is the New Dwarka Janmashtami. But just to encourage you, 15,000 volunteers to pull off the Janmashtami festival at the manor. 60,000 guests over two days. 40,000 plates of full prasadam. This one's for Ratna. 10,000 pizzas sold. 10,000 guests chant one round of japa. $50,000, $500,000 is the expense, but they collect over three-fourths of $1 million. So they make a profit of $250,000. It supports the temple all year long. So that it's a big standard. Just to give you a sample, they're just getting set up. This is all the different tents. Of course, the temple room for darshan. This is just about one-third of the festival setup. And they're just people that are just starting to arrive. They have a contest who can dress up like Radha and Krishna. They have a Leela walk. And you can walk through it's all different Krishna's pastimes. Just a short, I only have two here, but it's quite blissful. This is Radha Gokulananda. So they're all flowers. They design the whole temple like Vrindavan. Beautiful Radha Gokulananda. We're almost done with England, but this is what David Cameron, he's the Prime Minister of England and of the UK. They greet for the first time. They had Diwali right there at number 10 Downing Street, put on by the devotees. And you'll see a little bit more in a moment. I think I've got a... They had a big picture. The devotees, you know, devotees, took over the whole place. They had a big picture of Radha Gokulananda as you came in the lobby. And all these top government officials and dignitaries are all coming through. There was a big picture of Radha Gokulananda. The prime minister said, well, this certainly improves the decor. Mind if I keep the picture? Literally, he wanted, and the devotees, of course, gave it him. He kept this big blow-up of Radha Gokulananda. So the intro and the prayers by Shruti Dharma Prabhu, the first time the Maha Mantra was chanted at number 10 Downing Street. So as Prabhu would say, these things are going on. This is Rabindranath Maharaj speaking at the House of Commons. These are top, all the different, what do you call it? Like we have different, not cabinet posts, different committee, heads of different committees for the Congress. So these are all the different committee heads for the House of Commons. And here's Rabindranath Maharaj speaking to them for 2 hours. They ask good questions, all about sustainability. They have a new thing that's becoming the buzzword. You know, what do you call it? Gross National Product, the GNP? Well, they now have something called the GNH, Gross National Happiness. Because they're not everybody up there is brain dead. They've got, you know, everything they need, so to speak. You know, and they find at least those people who have everything they need materially, they're not happy. Rather, all the social ills, divorce, intoxication, suicide, they're higher amongst people with a better income rate. So something's wrong with the equation. And they're starting to look what is gross national happiness. That's a whole other class I can give sometime. But they're starting. So they were asking questions about gross national happiness. He also spoke for the Board of Governors for the Bank of England. And Radhanath Maharaj, he started off by saying, I joined the Hare Krishna movement at 20-something. I took sannyas at this and that. I've never had a bank account in my life. He said, and you look how he's dressed. He's a simple sannyasi. He said, I don't have a penny to my name. He said, and I'm addressing the bank of the governors of the, you know, Bank of England. He said, there was a little wry humor. They appreciate it. They got a kick out of it, you know. Now we've moved to Russia. Now we're out of the UK, that gentleman asked. We've now moved to Russia. This is a Russian retreat. They have it once a year. It's open to everyone. They have over 4,000 devotees attend. You can see the size of the tent. It's a fantastic setup. 8 sannyasis, multiple seminars. Here's just, you know, some of the sannyasis assembled there. A beautiful Lord Nisringadev. And it's also on the Black Sea. So the devotees have a chance. You can see some of the devotees in the back here now. Not quite an official attire, but, you know, it's a retreat. You can get some exercise. Prabhupada said you can swim. Not that you go surfing and spend all your time by the ocean, but a little swimming in the ocean, Prabhupada said, is good. Varun is the demigod for the ocean, Devanchar. Also for digestion, a little swimming in the ocean, Prabhupada said, good for health, good for digestion. Yeah, Jagannath Puri, so many things. But he wasn't there for 8 hours a day. Brahmacharis, please note. But you can see it's a nice festival on the Black Sea. And, where did we go? Well, I thought I had a list. Anyway, there's all different seminars. It's a wonderful setup. If you ever happen to, you know, you're vacationing, some of our householders, you can go to the Polish festival, you can go to the retreat, and you'll go to something else I'm going to show you in a minute. But I also wanted to say about the innovative intelligence of devotees. This next picture is of a devotee business. It's above, literally, I forget the name of the town. It's in Siberia. It is above the Arctic Circle. I mean, it's a godforsaken place. Devotees are there, so it's not godforsaken. They have a prasadam business. It's just booming. These are prasadam. This is a cake. It's all edible. So this is just one. And they have about 15 devotees, householders, work in the bakery, and it completely supports the temple. It subsidizes book distribution. Just a good idea, bakery. Here's another one of the cakes. It's all edible. I just thought it was kind of fun, devotee intelligence, you know? This, just to give an example of the atmosphere, this was sent to me by Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. This is an old one, those horrible Soviet flats, you know, just falling apart. You know Prabhupada's joke? Prabhupada liked this joke very much. When Prabhupada went to Moscow to meet with that famous meeting with Professor Katovsky, they also gave Prabhupada a tour. There's pictures of Prabhupada, St. Basil's in the back, you know, the Kremlin in there. Well, the Prabhupada drove past Lenin's tomb. And, you know, I don't know if they still got in there, but there's Lenin's tomb is there, and it's just, he's, what do you call that? Like a mausoleum, but it's actually mostly wax, his whole body's, you know. But he's there, like they've got Mao in a tomb, so they've also got, and everyone's lined up for Lenin's tomb, and there's a huge, it's like they're going to see the samadhi of Rupa Goswami for the communists, you know. They're all lined up. Huge line. So Prabhupada asked, why are they all lined up? And the devotee said, Prabhupada, they're lined up to see Lenin's tomb. Prabhupada said, you know why they're all lined up? Prabhupada said, to make sure he's dead. It's a horrible, you know, communist system. Prabhupada could, long before the CIA completely had it wrong. Prabhupada went there, Prabhupada said, this will fail. Prabhupada said, the human spirit is crushed by this. Without, you know, Prabhupada said, private ownership turns sand into gold. Without personal incentive, without, you know, the religious, spiritual sentiment, Prabhupada said, no, this won't last. Prabhupada said, the people are miserable. People are good, government is horrible. They won't last. They'll throw it out. And sure enough. So I like this picture. Glory to hard work. That's what this sign says over here. It says glory to hard work. But what did it get them? You know? You compare it to the devotees swimming at the Crimea and then coming out and having a feast and, you know, hearing Krishna Katha. So I already told Prabhupada's joke, but so working hard, the donkey's working hard. Is that what we're meant to be? Is that the goal of life? So now we're moving to China. And Mission Possible. Because you have to understand, it's a very oppressive government. You know, you can work money. You can work and make a bunch of money. But if you introduce any kind of anything that's outside of the central government control, they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks. It's really just, anyway, that's a whole other thing. This is one of the heroes of our society, Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was ordered by Prabhupada to go to China, didn't want to go. Prabhupada ordered him to go, and he went. When they originally went, and I don't know, it may still be that way, you get a government minder who goes with you and takes you to the Great Wall of China and Tiananmen Square and the, you know, whatever it is, the Forbidden Palace and whatever, Summer Palace. But you can't break off and meet and mix with the people. No way. It was really like that in those days. So they found it extremely difficult to actually have any kind of outreach and spread Krishna consciousness because they had this government, you know, agent there reporting on them. And if they said anything, they'd be thrown out. If you get a business visa, then you're given more freedom to roam because, if you know, whatever, you're just there to sell widgets or whatever. Drishtadyumna was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's brahmacharya assistant. Drishtadyumna's father was one of the top executives for Seagram's Liquor. They went in, they got their visas to as business visas to travel in China as liquor salesmen. And Tamal Krishna joked, he said, you know, we're selling the divine intoxication, you know, we're selling the holy names. So we didn't lie on one hand, you know. So this way, it's a long story, but they were able to travel all over, you know. The first student to take initiation, I've said this before, but I'll say it one more time, because Tamal was thinking, you know, this is really tough. You know, they can't even say Hare Krishna, you know, I've got a whole Hare Krishna, you know, all over, you know, 1 billion people. What's that going to do for us? You know, how do we, you know, what to do? And finally concluded, if they just take shelter of the holy name, somehow or other they get prasadam, somehow or other they read the books, Krishna will take care of the rest. And he was praying and thinking like that. It's a long story, but the short version is this man had gotten a book in Hong Kong. Somehow or other he met the devotees, came, first initiated disciple from one of the universities. His name, you know, English names sound funny in Chinese. Chinese names sound funny in English. Like Bin Too Fat or So What or Hu Flung Dung or, you know, whatever the name is, you know. This devotee's name, Tamal was thinking how to save these people. Well, if they just take shelter, Krishna will save them. His name was Hugh, H-Y-U, Hugh Chan, C-A-N, last name Ting, Yu Chan Ting. Tamal said, that's all right. It's a sign from Krishna. They just take it. And it's a fact. It's happening. This is Gopi Parandana, another one of, he's left his body also, one of the great heroes of our society. Wonderful devotee. Fantastic scholar. Fluent Sanskritist. You know, set up our school with help from Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and the BBT. Set up our Sanskrit school in New Govardhan. This guy is one of the top Confucian scholars in China. He was living, he's a vegetarian from Taoist and Confucian teachings. He was a vegetarian. And you can imagine in China, you know, he was living on tofu and barley water and bok choy. It was a tough row to hoe, frankly. He met Gopi. This is our honor, because they're interested in Varnashram Dharma, Vedic system, history. I mean, thousands of years ago, there was a trade route between China and India. You know, I mean, that's historical fact. All the way up the Vietnam River. What is that river in China? Not in Vietnam. Mekong. All the way up the Mekong River. There's temples of Vishnu. All because it was a route, and then when the river ended, they took my land into China. And Indian businessmen were going up and down all the time. I mean, it's amazing history that we don't know. Of course, you know Angkor Wat is a Vishnu temple. That's a whole other story in Cambodia. So they have a great intercultural exchange. This Gopi, seeing that avenue, you know, my point is that Krishna has given us intelligence. Nowhere we can open a temple. We have a temple in Botswana, which is a desert. Beautiful temple opened. So Krishna will give intelligence. This man became very attached to Gopi. He's also a Sanskrit scholar. Even more so, he became addicted to prasadam. You can imagine, bok choy, I don't want to offend anybody, barley water. So he has just knocked off 4 samosas, 3 gulab jamuns, and a whole, you know, paneer stuffed kachoris. He said, once you've had paneer, there's no going back. There's no going back to, sorry, I'm tofu, fine, okay, but you know. So this is a Buddhist smile. He's actually in ecstasy. That's a Buddhist in ecstasy. So I was making a point. They found this avenue that they're now setting up programs in Buddhist ashrams. And they're traveling, because you can't go out on the street and dhoti and seek and have, you know, no, they'll throw you in jail. You cannot do it. So what to do? They're setting up programs in Buddhist ashrams. This is our Tirtharaj Prabhu. And they're, you know, sometimes they have 100, sometimes they have 500. The biggest one they did had 750 monks. This is one of the top abbots in China. Look at the guy. He's in ecstasy. They've just had a big kirtan inside their ashram. This is Tirtharaj. He's in ecstasy. They're visiting regularly. This is the Hong Kong Rath Yatra. They do it at night. I mean, Lord Jagannath, you know, we get criticized, you know, by the Puri pundits that you have to do it only on this day and only at this time and only in the sun, you know, and that, you know, you're just malechas, you don't know anything in the West. We know that Lord Jagannath's name is not Purinath. He's Jagannath. He's Lord of the universe. And when do we hold Rath Yatra? Down at Venice Beach, when you can get the most conditioned souls can see blissful Lord Jagannath. So down under, they do it in the wintertime. You know, our winter is their summer. No, we're supposed to, this is intelligence. So they do their Rath Yatra. There's the Kowloon side and there's the Hong Kong side. And Kowloon side at night is completely packed with thousands of tourists. They got permission from the government. There's no other. We're not part of another parade. It's just the devotees. So I got a few bootleg shots smuggled out of. So it's nighttime shopping distance. Thousands of people. Here you can see, this is one of the three cards. But you see the beautiful card here. And here's Tirtharaj Prabhu. Somewhere on the image, I can stick his head in every picture. You can see beautiful. I like this nice, you know, neon tilak. Down the main street in Kowloon. Here's the devotees chanting and dancing. Inconceivable. Prabhupada said there are Brahmins on every corner. Just go and pick them up. Whether it's Siberia or China or Botswana or, you know, Zululand or wherever. Or downtown Los Angeles. There's Brahmins on every corner. Just go and pick them up. So this is the famous line that Mao's little red book, you know, and the Red Guard and the Red Revolution or whatever that was, Cultural Revolution. And they used to say that, you know, your culture will be left in the dustbin of history. Hey, now where's that baby? That's twice. You got one more. So this was a big, but what's in the dustbin of history? Nobody's reading the, you know, Mao's sayings. They're reading Bhagavatam. I think, do I have a picture? Well, we'll just as an example, the Bhagavatam is now come out in Chinese. I don't know if it's Mandarin or Cantonese last year. And we can legally sell it in bookstores, isn't it? Huh?
Is it Mandarin?
In Mandarin. I think it's Mandarin because that's the scholastic or the academic name. So forget the little red book, Bhagavatam.
They're sold throughout all the government's bookshops.
They're sold throughout all the government bookshops and printed with government permission. Because otherwise you can't print. So just, you know, this is an amazing movement, no doubt about it. So Mao's rolling over in his grave or wherever he is, and he's in the dustbin of history. This is Dhaka. This is a heavy Muslim country. I mean, during that Bangladesh war, I don't want to get anybody's case, but they went on the campus, the Oxford of the East, in Dhaka, and butchered the professors, students. It was like 3,000, 4,000 students. We don't even know about it. It's just coming out now, you know, like whatever. Like South Africa and apartheid, and then now there's Truth and Reconciliation Committee, what it was called. It's now starting to come out, but it's a heavy Muslim country. And here's all the devotees lined up. They have three carts. I'll give you a little more information as we go along. It goes down the main street in Dhaka. Population is 85% Muslim, yet 50 to 60,000 people attend the Rath Yatra. It passes the National Mosque, not on Friday, but it does pass the National Mosque. Prasadam is distributed throughout the festival. It's carried on national television, half-hour program on the festival in ISKCON, Dhaka. A dozen kirtan parties, members of parliament attend. The Muslim mayor speaks at the festival site. It's for 9 days long. 80,000 full plates of prasadam are distributed, and it's held thereafter in 11 other cities. Now that's powerful Ratha Yatra. And it's happening in Bangladesh. Who could imagine such a thing? Anyone know Botswana? I'm getting the temple is now opened. Botswana is a landlocked little spit of a country. I think it's landlocked by South Africa, and I forget what's above it, you know. And it's desert. All it is for diamonds. And yet we have a beautiful congregation, blissful temple. I'm getting pictures of it all painted. There was a new Back to God magazine. It's a little jewel box. Here's the deities, beautiful Krishna Balaram deities. Okay, we're getting close to the end. For those of you who are up against Prasadam, so I'll move quickly. This is the Bhaktivedanta Research Center. This was started by Hari Sari Prabhu. And it is a, you remember, some of you may know the Matsya Project, which Prabhupada had the BBT send agents all over India and take photographs, you know, microfiche of the old manuscripts, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the fifth chapter, not even the whole fifth chapter, of the Brahma Samhita in South India. So there's amazing documents all over India in temple libraries or the libraries of sadhus, and they're all just turning to dust. So Hari Sari Prabhu has started collecting these. There's a whole story. I don't have time to go into it. But they have over 15,000 different items already. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavad Gita with his own handwritten commentary. They just went to Birnagar. This is the birthplace of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The library of Lalit Prasad, the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's agreed to give that library to ISKCON. It has the autobiography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, Prabhupada's spiritual master, writing about his childhood, what it was like growing up in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Imagine how sweet that book is. The diary, the personal diary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they already had. That's coming out. It'll come out at the fall of this year. I think this is Guru Das. This is Guru Das, I think. And Shamasund, of course, Prabhupada. And this is Lalit Prasad. So that is a major coup to get that library. This is them signing the agreement. Here's Hari Sari Prabhu, another one of the heroes of our society. Oh, I already said this, I think. Autobiography of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Okay, there. Now they're moved out. They're searching all over Bangladesh. Because Bangladesh, you know, used to be East Bengal. And so there's so many libraries and old temples that they're searching. They're now affiliated with Oxford as an exchange research institute. Land in Mayapur has already been set aside, and they're building a university with a library will be the center of that. This fantastic, it'll be the best Vedic and Vaishnav library in the world. It'll be right up there with University of Chicago and Oxford. It'll be better. So just quickly, this is the GVC strategic planning. What that is, I'm going to just show you quickly. I've been a member of the GVC for a little over 25 years now. Usually we have to deal, and I don't mean to be, well, I'll just say it. Franklin Delano Roosevelt died of a heart attack in a hot tub with his mistress, just as a sidelight. Caliber of the leadership of America. But Truman became the president. When he walked into the office for the first day, he asked the executive secretary, he said, please, give me some easy ones first. She responded, by the time things come to your desk, there's no easy ones left. So everything that can't get solved during the year washes up on the desk of the GBC when we meet in Mayapur. And therefore, we were stuck in this pattern of always dealing with crisis mode emergency and not really having time to think of where do we want to be in 5 years? Where do we want to be in 10 years? How can we help improve life in ISKCON? How can we make more devotees, happier devotees? This time for strategic planning, we didn't have much time for. Now, for the last 5 years, we've been working little by little on strategic planning. We now have a separate meeting in October, which deals with all of these things. This is just one element, one program that has come out of that. Last year we had a meeting of leaders from around the ISKCON world, temple presidents. We all met in Mayapur. Let's hear what they have to say. Let's exchange ideas. This year was a meeting of sannyasis, GBCs, and gurus. It was a smaller group. Let's meet and talk. How can we improve ISKCON? What problems do you see? What positive things can you see? It was an exchange, real exchange of ideas in a very informal and friendly way. So here's some pictures. There were sweet bhajans. This, of course, is Bibi Govinda Maharaj, who I was going to say has the voice of a Gandharva, but it's more than that, you know. This is Niranjana Swami playing harmonium. I mean, it's worth it just for that. Great association. This, of course, is Vaisheshika Prabhu. This is Niranjana Maharaj. This is Kripa Moy from the UK, who's a wonderful devotee, super smart, too. His father was a British officer in the Indian Army, and he actually spent time in India, so it's very interesting. Just to give you an example of some of the discussion topics, how to care for our leaders as a sidelight. When I was a temple president, I've got the gray hairs to confirm it. I was a temple president in San Diego. I was taking a shower. A devotee got up on a milk crate, called in my window, said, Budri, can I talk to you? I said, Prabhu, I'm in the shower. Devotee said, oh, I don't mind. Hang on a minute. I said, I'm mind, you know? But the idea that I might need a little personal space for a few was like not even on the devotee's radar. So, you know, to be a guru, I tell you, I raised two kids. Anybody parent here raised kids? You know, fine, you raise them, you get them through college. What do they say? Education, occupation, marriage. Then they're out of the house. You're on your own. You've got disciples. They're stuck. You're stuck with them. You know, hell or high water. You know, if you're a genuine, you know, compassion and concern, you've got your disciples. And Prabhupada said, I'll forgive you once. I'll forgive you twice. He said, third time I take off my shoe. You know? But then Prabhupada chuckled. Prabhupada said, actually, he said, the spiritual master is unlimitedly merciful. And then he said, but don't take advantage. So, you know, it's a labor of love to be a guru. It's not, oh, the guru, look, everyone's bowing down. You know, he gets a garland. Forget it. Leave the garland at home. I can bail on the disciples. I'll live 10 years longer, you know? So how to care for our leaders? Also, assessment of our leaders. We've now started assessing. We have a job performance, service performance, and we're measuring. How is the GBC man doing? Does he visit? Does he maintain the temple? Does he know what the finances are? Does he preach to the devotees? Is book distribution increasing in his zone or her zone? So there needs to be assessment. So how to care and how to assess, how to provide training, relevant and relatable outreach. How do we find these new ways, different ideas? How do we find a good idea and spread it through ISKCON? How GBC can better serve ISKCON. Succession. I don't want to be 90 years old and wheeled in a drip to the GBC meetings. You know, where we bring new people up, new, you know, young temple presidents, young GBCs. It's gradually making this second generational leap. I remember I was quite concerned when I used to come to the LA Ratha Yatra. There was a time there, it was getting less. Then all of a sudden I noticed it started changing and there were devotees pushing baby carriages. I thought, fantastic. It's made the generational leap. These are young householders raising their kids as devotees. It will go on, you know. So succession, how to make them active. Becoming a guru in ISKCON, sannyas deployment. Not that one just joins the banquet circuit. You figure out, well, if I go to UK, if I go to this, I'll pick up the most dakshin and I'll get a good meal. Not that our sannyasis are thinking about that. But they're a great resource. And the sannyasis have now agreed that every year they will take a 2-month assignment. We need help in Africa. We need help in South America. They never see sannyasis in Central America. You know, L.A., they're coming all the time, you know. So how to spread it out? So sannyasis, hey, what is this? To sell me something, that's for sure. So where do we want to start from current slide? Well, let's hope this works. So these are some of the, you know, wages for sages. This was another discussion. You've got a young householder. Do you give them some maintainment? You know, do they get a devotee allowance? And what is a reasonable allowance? You know, how do we make sure that we don't, you know, so these are just a sample of some of the discussion groups. Very educational, very productive. Small working groups, panel discussions, team reports, questions and answers. And then each of these has become a project. These different teams are working on developing curriculum, developing outreach, how to make sure it doesn't just, happy talk that goes out the window. Okay. This was just one Prabhupada's position. Prabhupada is our founder acharya. But what does that actually mean? And how do we, in four generations, Prabhupada's just not a happy face, like a Santa Claus. What does it actually mean? We're going to talk more about this tomorrow in Bhagavatam class. I don't have time to go into it in depth, but tomorrow we'll talk about it. But what is the meaning of founder acharya? Rabindra Sarup Prabhu was given this research assignment. And he went back and looked at all these are two main sources, the old, the harmonists, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which was actually edited and produced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And to find out how is this term, founder acharya, used in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. What does it really mean? We know founder acharya means, he's the founder of our society and he's acharya, he teaches by example. We say Prabhupada is the siksha guru for everyone, but what does it mean? So they found, both in the harmonist and in that Sri Krishna Chaitanya, which was like when Prabhupada came to the West with the Bhagavatam, he wanted to have something of substance. Before they sent the preachers to the UK, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, under that, what is his name? The sannyasi, I've forgotten his name. No, it'll come back to me. But he and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote the book, and when it was ready, then he sent him to the West. So we find this prehistoric teachers. You recognize Rudra, the four Kumaras, Lakshmi, and Brahma? They're the four sampradayas coming from Lord Vishnu, bona fide lines of disciplic succession. Now, in relatively recent time, their founder acharyas for the Rudra Sampradaya was Vishnu Swami. Kumara Sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya. Lakshmi Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Ramanujacharya. And Madhvacharya is a Brahma Sampradaya. So they were the term founder acharya. Prabhupada is the fifth founder acharya for the Iron Age. The title was meant to be given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was planning to come to the West. He sent his brahmacharis to get started, but they were unable to do it. They failed, frankly. Prabhupada was there. What is the time? I'm sorry. We'll go quickly. But just to be quick, because it's worth the history. Prabhupada was there with Sridhar Swami when the Ban Maharaj and the others came off the boat back in Calcutta. When they got off the boat, they were in Western dress. And Prabhupada could understand that we were supposed to go and influence them, but they have influenced us. Prabhupada could immediately understand. And then they said, Von Marsh said to Prabhupada, they asked us many questions we could not answer. Prabhupada thought, what questions not answered in the Bhagavatam? What do they mean? So they actually were, there are a number of reasons. It's a long story, there's more to the story. But so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never went. But he said, that's all right, there is one amongst you who will go, and that was Srila Prabhupada. Don't worry, in due course he will do everything. So Prabhupada is the founder acharya for the Iron Age. And the whole history, there's a book. What I meant to show you back here, this is a book coming out, it's going through its second draft, it's 85 pages, explaining the whole history of the term founder acharya, what that means in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, what it means for future generations. It's blissful. And we'll talk about this more tomorrow during Bhagavatam class. Okay, we're going to move forward. Now, we're almost finished. This is just for fun. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. Prabhupada liked this saying. And Krishna says that he directs the wanderings of all living entities. So, Burma was a horrible, oppressive government for so many years. And the devotees were translating, but they had no money to print, and even if they had printed the books, even if they got the books translated, there was no way they could print them outside and bring them in. The government would never let them bring them in. And even they printed them locally, there was no way. If they printed them on a local press, they would have gone to jail. And they went to speak if they'd managed to translate and print. There's no way they could distribute it. But anyway, having full faith in Krishna, they managed to translate Bhagavatam into Burmese. As soon as the Bhagavatam was finished, this Aung San Suu Kyi was freed from political arrest. The whole country is now opened up. They have printing presses all over the place. The devotees, a big donor came forward, because there's a large Indian population also, you know, from because it used to be part of India, and donated the funding for the Burmese Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has now come out, and the devotees can distribute it. It is a serendipitous harmonic conversion of history. These things are going on. This is just for fun. This is a European cruise ship. I mean, people are, you know, you've got to take the wife and kids on a vacation every now and then. Otherwise, they'll drive you nuts. So you got to do some, you know. So, but how to Krishnaize it? The devotees commissioned this ship, filled it full of devotees, and went on a cruise. And this is the coast. They went along the coast of France and Spain and, you know, started off in England. Here's the ship. They had Harinam at every port where they stopped. They went on, had nice Harinam. This, of course, is Bhakti Charu Swami. This is Radhanath Maharaj. I'll show you the sannyasis who went on the thing. This is Sachinandana Swami, Radhanath Maharaj, Bhakti Purushottam Swami, Chandramali Swami, and Bhakti Charu Swami. So they had a fantastic assemblage of sannyasis. They had Bhagavatam class, full morning program, full evening program. Stop at a different port every day, see whatever little local tourist sites, have a nice kirtan. Excellent prasadam, programs on board the ship. So these things are going on. This is, you know, using your intelligence, different ways to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, Lochan Prabhu made this murti of Srila Prabhupada, these fantastic murtis which are all over the world. He also out at Simi Valley. Is it Simi? It is pretty Simi up there. Look up the word Simi in the dictionary. It is properly named. There's the Ronald Reagan Museum. He did the bust that's in the lobby of the Ronald Reagan. He's an expert artist. He has made this beautiful Hanuman. It's a jeweled with precious metal Hanuman. This is the case. It comes inside a beautiful rosewood case. Here it is, close up. And you can see when you press a button, he opens his hands. See his prayers? And right inside, in turquoise and beautiful jewelry and emeralds, is Sita Ram inside his heart. The price of these things is like $100,000 to $200,000. It's all precious jewels. And it's reaching a very special market. I showed you Hanuman in the heart. I already said it with the Ronald Reagan bust. This is the crown princess of Jayapur. This is some other big, super rich guy. This is our Advaita Chari. You know Advaita? And he's the one who's managing this thing. They've already sold four of these. And the profit goes for supporting Lochan and goes to the Mayapur temple. So very intelligent, big Sankirtan. Prabhupada's birthplace, you know, Prabhupada, they went outside to Prabhupada's, this is the Bengali Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, that you're born at your mother's house. Because then, you know, the woman who's giving birth, she feels more comfortable. She's at her mother's house like that. So Prabhupada was born at his maternal grandparents' house. And for so many years, the devotees have tried to, you know, he's born under a jackfruit tree. For so many years, we've tried to negotiate that. That house has now been purchased and is owned by ISKCON. So we actually have, and little by little, we're moving the tent. The jackfruit tree is still there. See the nice jackfruit here? Little by little, we'll move the people out and restore it to just as it, you know, like you go to see the birthplace of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or, you know, whatever it is. We'll actually have the birthplace of Srila Prabhupada restored to its original condition. So, this is the end. But, you know, people think they're practicing yoga. People think, you know, we think so many things. We have so many aspirations and desires. Prabhupada said, it's like one of the first things I heard Prabhupada say, he said, Krishna consciousness is like so many zeros. Material life is like so many zeros. If you take zero times zero to the zero with power, what does it become? It's still zero. But you put a one in front of it, it becomes 100 or a million or a billion. All we have to do, we're thinking, feeling, willing, living entities. Prabhupada up here in, right here in Los Angeles. I was a bhakti. They made Prabhupada for the 4 o'clock offering some sugar cookies with peanut butter frosting. Nanda Kumar took them up to Prabhupada. We brahmacharis used to loiter down here when he would come down. We'd, you know, like the movies, a bunch of dust, and all the Mahaprasadam would be gone. He came down with these cookies, and Prabhupada had licked the frosting off and left the cookies. So that was very, very special, blissful Mahaprasadam. Nanda Kumar asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you don't like the cookies?" Prabhupada said, "Everyone has their own taste. So even in our liberated state, we're persons, we have inclinations, we have natures. That doesn't become washed. Rather, our real personality comes out. So we have thoughts, we have desires. But rather than meditating on chocolate or, you know, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You know, what are we supposed to meditate on? If we fill it with how can I serve the Sankirtan mission? How can I spread the message of Krishna? Everybody can do it. In some capacity, there's some way that we can step forward and serve Krishna. Krishna says, I'm adventure. You want to live a life of quiet desperation and drop dead and nobody cares whether you know whether you lived or died except for a few small people who cry for a few minutes? And usually they're crying because you didn't have any money left in the will. That's why they're really crying, but that's another story. But Krishna says, I'm adventure. And Krishna says, for one who explains the supreme secret, there is no servant more dear to me. So if we can take part in the Sankirtan mission, whatever it is, you ask Swavas, don't worry. There's 1,000 ways. You ask Pavika Mataji. You ask, who is our Sankirtan leader? What is that nice brahmacharya right here? Soma. Yeah, you ask Bhrigupati, man. You ask Satchitananda. You ask any of the devotees. You ask Ratna. Rathayatra is coming up. Trust me. So things to do before, they call these bucket lists, you know, things to do before I die. Even the man is being dragged off by the Yamadutas. He's thinking, well, I could have seen the Taj Mahal, I could have seen. It burns like fire and is never satisfied. That is the nature of lust. We will be 120 and still be dreaming, oh, if I'd only done this, I would have been happy. But Krishna consciousness, you're fully satisfied. They asked Prabhupada one time, what do you do for recreation? What does your society do for recreation? Prabhupada said, what? Our whole movement is recreation. My father, when he retired at his retirement dinner, we'll end here, but at his retirement dinner, everyone's there in tuxedo except for me. I'm just as a devotee by Krishna's grace. And they said, my father said, everyone's congratulating me. I'm 66 years old. I'm retiring, sold the business. I'm retiring. Everyone's congratulating me. He said, my younger son is more intelligent than me. People said, why? You know, you could tell the audience. He said, he retired at 17 and a half. How? They said, he joined the Hare Krishna movement. My father actually, later on in life, he appreciated, you know. I mean, devotees, we work hard for Krishna, no doubt about it, but it's a joy. So there it is, Vijay Shri Krishna Sankirtan. That's just a sample of the exciting things happening all around the world and that you can take part in. Thank you for sitting so patiently, Hare Krishna. And if you have time tomorrow, Bhagavatam classes, what time? 7:30. We'll talk about this other thing more at that time.